This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good evening to you. I'm Caroline O, together with Arlene Weber. And today we're going to be talking about, believe it or not, halal dating. Now, the dating landscape is changing. People are finding it hard to meet their potential partner. You know, people talk about work hours, the fast pace of living, as your reasons for not being able to find someone. So as a result, speed dating services and other matchmaking services seem to be on the rise. And one of them made the news a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Arlene and I had raised eyebrows when we saw this one out in the papers. The halal speed dating and matchmaking services. Now, according to the report, what they do is they provide a safe and controlled environment in which you are able to meet your future spouse. And, well, that certainly sounds promising, but for many of us, we don't know what halal dating actually means.
That's right. Not everyone is familiar with the term halal dating. In fact, we ask around the office to get a gauge of what people understood about halal dating.
I believe, I might be wrong, it's dating in a religiously correct way. Qahwa is not allowed in Islam, so I'm guessing that you cannot be in a room privately with the girl. So it's mostly like, I'm guessing, dating in a park, because there's a lot of people at the park, so you're not alone, and that's why you see a lot of people going to parks and to malls.
I think it's something to do with abstinence. So instead of like practice safe sex, you abstain from having sex. I think that's halal dating. Is that halal dating?
I don't know much about halal dating, but I imagine that it would be sort of dating with, definitely with a chaperone, and definitely with the intentions to eventually get married, and with the, you know, approval and blessings from everyone, like the parents and the people involved, just, I guess. So it sounds boring though.
Honestly, halal dating is, I practically have no idea about it, aside from like arranged marriages and like you have to get nikah first, and then from there you get to know that person afterwards. So yeah, it has to be approved by your family and all that first of all.
And there you have it. Luckily for us though, we have the experts in the studio to help clear the air.
So here to explain it to us are the founders of the Halal Speed Dating Matchmaking Services. We have with us Syed Azmi Al-Habshi as well as Zuri Yuyi. Welcome, gentlemen. Nice to have you here with us.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
So I think let's just start with that, shall we, Arlene? You know,
yeah, could you maybe tell us why and how did you guys get into the speed dating scene, halal style?
The halal speed dating, okay, it started off with just three friends actually making a joke at me that is not married. I'm the only one who's not married in this team. And the two of them, Hayati, and another one, Zuri. Well, Hayati found her partner through MIRC those days.
Oh yes, that's remember that.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, that's for Hayati. Yeah. And actually Zuri, he actually went through a halal speed dating process.
Right.
So they were just talking about it, and I was actually intrigued because I wanted to know how halal is halal.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, and I thought it's just intriguing, and mm-hmm. they talk about it, and I was thinking like, wow, the first thing that came to my mind is you respect the ladies.
Right.
And then that's how they brought up a system to actually talk to me how to go through it, how we were going to make this one work.
Right. So it's always about a woman. There's a woman behind everything. That's
yeah,
what they
say. Yeah, there is. At least one.
Yeah. Okay. So started off because you were single looking for someone and looking to find a way to do this, the halal work. Can you just explain to us what non-halal dating is first to set the context?
Well, in the Islamic context, it's not permissible for a man and a woman to be, in close proximity without a family member.
Without a family member.
Without a family member.
So a chaperone.
A chaperone.
So, yeah.
All right.
So in what we do at our event, we make sure the family member comes along.
Okay.
During the matchmaking process.
All right. So explain to us how it works exactly. Who participates? What are the charges like? What can participants, I suppose, expect to get out of it?
Okay. So how it starts is with people just register their interests on our website.
Right.
From the database, we will narrow it down according to age range, education level. Oh. And then we'll invite those with a lot of similarities. We'll send an invitation and email, come to our matchmaking event. And we have to shortlist because the interest is a lot. Hmm. Like 1,200 in a month we got just by word of mouth.
Yeah, that's what we hear, right?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, and we could only cater 80 people at one time. So we shortlisted, and 60 women came, 20 women, and then 20 men came. And At the same time, more than 20 chaperones came along with the women.
Right.
So at the event, they all will be talking to each other face to face, get to know, and they will be supervised by their own guardian. Right. Family member.
So is that sort of a regular battle? You know, this is the dating scene. I know Arlene is married, so she's been out of the dating scene for a while. A bit of a show off that way, you know. But
can't help it.
Is that pretty much what it is? The balance, you think, the ratio between men and women, it always seems to be women heavy looking for, like, if you go for dance classes, for example, it's always more
exactly,
women, right?
Exactly, always more women. So why is this though? What sort of feedback did you get from the participants? Why were there more women than men?
Exactly why, we're still trying to find out why, because the Malaysian population, there's more single men than single women. 55% men are single and 45%
where
women.
Where are you? Where are you?
Yeah, where are they? Where are you guys? Come on. So register at halalsweetdating.com.
Shameless. Nice plug.
We need the men. Come on. Get married. So what's the question again?
So, okay. So you get these participants assigned. How much do you charge? I assume there is a fee for this.
Our first event, we charge about 45 ringgit per participant and an additional 30 ringgit for their chaperone.
Right, so the chaperone pays as well as the participants. So do they get, I don't know, is it free with a drink, for example?
Oh,
or
yes,
is it pretty much just the venue?
The venue and finger food, good food at our event partner.
Right.
Teller Lounge promotion. So, and
just plugging it
all the way.
Exactly,
all the way, just keep it up. Are chaperones a must, though? Can participants attend without one?
Yeah, so say, for example, you know, if I wanted to go and I don't have a chaperone, Arlene's not free because she has a husband, I say once again. you know, would I be able to go if I don't have a chaperone?
We make it compulsory, but at the same time, there would be some rare cases that they cannot bring their chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
We will have our pengawas.
There's a pengawas?
The pengawas.
So basically, it's just another chaperone to actually help you out.
But are they called pengawas? I mean, that is rather unsexy. But, you know, I mean, when you think of dating, nobody wants the pengawas standing around.
That's true. But they're basically, the main idea for them is actually to make you comfortable.
Hmm.
So basically, our trained pengawas is actually to make you feel comfortable. Now, you have to actually understand this part. When I agree to join with Zuhri and Yati, agree to join all this as friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is another part. We, by individual, we are totally different.
Right.
Okay. But why can we work this one out together? Okay. The reason why was because I have a different set of target group audience that I want them to come.
Yes.
For me, who is being single, it's important to know that why I am interested in this. Don't tell me just because I want to get married. Not only that, but I have friends who doesn't want to get married, who doesn't believe in marriage, or probably wasn't sure that he or she can be married, or probably, you know. So basically, when we open up this avenue, it's for everyone. That's why this halal speed dating by us is different, because we do not try to suggest who should come. Everybody can come.
Right, so you're enlarging the circle from what I understand, but you do go there with the intention of looking for a lifelong partner.
Number one, that's the number one. But for some of my friends that I invited, I also really said that try out. Who knows that you do want to get married?
Or just in case you
just in case. Or some of them who've never been on with the other sex, you see? So you just want them to actually experience, because in the end, you want them to get married. But if they don't believe in the first step, there goes.
Yeah, it all begins with that first step. And we'll be taking that together with the founders of Halal Sweet Dating Side, as well as Zuhri, here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. You're with Caroline and Arlene this evening. We're talking about halal dating with the founders of Halal Sweet Dating Side, Azmi Al-Habshi, as well as Zuhri Yuhi. So we've been talking about how it started, how you came up with the idea of halal speed dating. Can you tell us now, how long has halal dating been practiced for?
Okay, when you think about it, it's not a brilliant new idea. Think about it back when our grandparents' time. They've never dated. If our grandfather wanted to marry our grandmother, he would talk to her father first. They didn't date, no pato.
Yeah.
So this, we're just bringing back the beautiful tradition that has been practiced back then, which it's parents find, which is safe for their daughters, and it's a preferred practice.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe we can help explain well, what I understand based on what I read. So halal dating is based on the sunnah, which is the way and teachings of the Prophet Muhammad in Islam. Now, help explain to us the difference between the sunnah and sharia then.
Okay. Yeah. This is a very important point, that the speed dating itself is not a sunnah.
I stand corrected.
Uh-huh. So marriage is a sunnah, encouraging marriage is a sunnah, but halal speed dating is sharia compliant. What we mean by that is every step of the process is sharia compliant, because the matchmaker is everything is chaperoned. There's no booze at the event.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
No touching. No flirting. It's everything is chaperoned in a good environment.
How is that different from, say, for example, if you do a normal speed dating service without the alcohol, without the touching, but there are a lot of people in the room together, so you don't necessarily have to be there with a chaperone, but everybody's there together. Is it necessarily non-halal, or is that pretty much halal as well?
Well, I love mingling sessions, mm-hmm. so basically it's something like that, mm-hmm. and people have asked me, like, if you do a party and everybody brings a partner or somebody that you don't like to, yeah. so just bring it over in a mixer. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is because you can create, I'm not sure what's the English word, but I call it fitnah. It means that you're actually creating something out of nothing. So probably you'll be seeing with that guy and probably say, oh no, he is with her, or they're talking bad. You do not want to create things. So basically you'd have to have it out in the open, very transparent.
Right. Create things as in let other people have assumptions?
Assumptions, yes. Mm. And that's not, you don't want to, like, for this girl, she said that this is my first time coming to a halal speed dating. But I've went to a lot of mixer. I've spent a lot of money going to a lot of mingling sessions, you know. And I actually asked her, like, I've never been to one. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And she said that, well, if I meet too many guys, they call me cheap.
Right.
And I was thinking, wow, I never thought of that. And
who are they? They are horrible friends.
So when she came over and she was sitting with me, and I asked her, what do you think of it now? No, I think that the question you ask is more appropriate, and you treat me like a queen. And that was the first thing that I can imagine, like, wow. So basically, and my mother was around anyway. So it was good. It was good for the ladies, because we actually do try to cater and to tackle her in the way that you liked it to be.
That's quite interesting. So you brought your mother with you. Now let me ask you, Arlene, being a married woman and all of that, do, I suppose, parents-in-law or parents, what kind of dynamic does that lend a marriage? Usually from what I watch on TV, not being married myself, from what I watch on TV, it's never a good thing when you involve parents.
Yes, that's true.
Let's
just leave it at that.
There you go. But that's what I would imagine.
I wasn't the only one that brings my mom. I mean, the first one who sat with me brings her father.
So what was, I'm just interested to know, what was your mother's feedback?
Well, my mother had to sit with all the 12 girls. Mm-hmm. And to her, she was saying that, I've never seen this side of you, mm-hmm. asking this kind of questions towards another girl. So I said, I know. But then again, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the girl do expect something out of it. So it's a conversation where you would know that your son is actually looking for what?
So what happens if you identify your future spouse at one of these meetings,
uh-huh.
and along the way, you find that you guys aren't as compatible as you thought you were? How do you then, because the girl's expectations and yours probably, you know,
this
also
is the best part, because you only hear the part where what is happening that day. But the halal speed dating goes way beyond that.
How so?
So Zuri will explain after the event day what happens. So
all right, hang on, Zuri. Right. You just hold that thought. We'll come right back to you after the news. Stay with us here. This is BFM talking about halal dating. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. Caroline O, together with Arlene Weber, keeping you company on your drive home today, talking about halal dating with the founders of halal speed dating, Syed Azmi Al-Habshi, as well as Zuri Yuhi. So we stopped at a point a little earlier in the interview talking about what's important with dating. Is that right?
Yep. Okay. We're actually talking about the halal speed dating after the process of actually meeting up their choices.
And what happens after that. So Zuri, you were going to come in.
Okay, yes. Okay. So after the candidates have met with different other candidates. For example, Azmi met with 12 different ladies. So they will send in a ballot. They have shortlisted three numbers Well, I have to
it's so
mention.
Brutal.
Yes, it is. From 12 down to 3.
Yeah, okay. I know. The culling process. Okay, go on.
So, okay, first I have to explain. There will be no names at this event. Only the organizers would know the names. Among the participants, they only have numbers.
Right.
This is to protect, you know, for safety for the candidates.
Yes.
So he would have written down, shortlisted three numbers.
Okay.
And then the ladies would also have shortlisted three numbers.
Right.
We will find a mutual selection.
Right.
And if there is a match, from the mutual selection, we call it a match.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From that match, I will inform the male candidate, hey, okay, you have a match, contact her guardian.
All right. So it's like Tinder, as in both have to swipe the same way or something.
Yes, yes, similar.
And then instead of contacting the person directly, I contact your mother in this instance, right? Okay, I got
it. Now, but then it's the guy who contact means that I have to contact the guardian.
Doesn't that freak you out though?
No, because the thing is, you were asking, what if along the way it doesn't work?
Mm.
So basically, this is the best part from a guy point of view who actually wants to get married. You don't just get married to the girl, you get married to the whole family.
Right.
Right. So basically, this is coming from a single guy,
okay,
who's not married. So basically, with that, it comes that respect. If you're serious with the girl, you contact the guardian.
Right, the chaperone, or whoever it is who came along.
We call it wali. Right. So that's the right way to do it. Because if you're just playing around, then you contact the girl and start asking ridiculous questions.
So essentially, you're establishing respect from the very beginning.
Yes.
Absolutely.
From day one.
That is the most important part.
Yep.
But if you narrow it down to three. Yeah, that's why she's married, you know. But if you narrow it down to three, instead of one... How does that work? That because if you're showing that you're serious about... Does this show that you're serious about three women and the women about three men as opposed to just the one?
Because it's all based also on chances and actually how it is.
Right.
So basically, yes, that's how it is. But of course, the number one is the number one that you really wanted to be with.
Oh, so you prioritize it as you go.
Yes, you have to prioritize.
Okay, so what happens from then? I mean, do they continue coming for halal speed dating or, you know, do they go off on their own and...
Okay, from that, it's they're on their own. But they do come back and give us a call and consult with us. What do I do next? How do I approach? For example, there's this lady. Before the event, she didn't have any candidate. At the event, she had three matches. After the event, there were two other people proposed to her. It's like, oh, what do I do? It's like, okay, I just give her a proper consultation, like, you know, one by one.
Right.
According to the... manners or etiquettes of ta'aruf. Ta'aruf is getting to know someone.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, you know, it's matchmaking, proper getting to dating. As we understand it, is you have to go one by one.
Right.
You can't talk to all the candidates at the same time.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of people asking you for dating advice?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I get calls from even men in their 60s asking me for marriage advice at the same time.
So how diverse, not just the age group, but other questions. What kind of questions do you get? I'm curious to know. Like, how do I ask somebody on a date? How do I, you know, what are the questions?
Okay.
I'm such a busybody.
For me, the questions that I normally get is, because I actually promote for people who never thought of wanting to get married, number one, or the people who actually thought that marriage is expensive.
Right.
So that's why they don't want. And I still ask them to come and they actually ask me, what's the point?
Mm.
And to me, I said that marriage is actually a natural thing.
Right.
So you actually have to know whether you want to or not. So even though it sounded marketing, but basically you actually have to have the feeling that you actually want to be in the process. There are ladies who came over who actually said, I don't want kids.
Hmm.
So basically, I said, okay, but you have that in your head. You never voice it out saying that, okay, I would like to see, but then I don't want to have kids. Would that be a problem?
Hmm.
It's not a problem if you say it out and you can actually hear your own thoughts of who do you want to be with. We actually ask people to ask as many questions as you like during the Ta'aruf event.
That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting. So what's your target market?
Target market, we're open to all Malaysians who are single.
Mm-hmm.
And
even 60-year-old men.
Even
clearly.
60-year-old men.
Yeah.
But we have to prioritize according to matches, you know, age range and education level.
So, for example, if I'm looking for someone who... I'm stating my preference when it comes to an age. And so this poor 60-year-old man who is signed up then there is a chance that there will be no match.
We won't be inviting the 60-year-old men for this particular event. We may be having a different, maybe men in their 60s, men and women in their 60s or single. That's a different event. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you cluster them into groups then, right?
Yeah.
Based on age groups and preferences. And yes. All right. What has the feedback been from the non-Muslims?
There was one non-Muslim guy. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was famous. Everybody wants to sit with him. And for him, he brought his own chaperone. And when I was asking him, what do you think? He said that, I become more proper than ever, but the girls are also asking good questions like, when do you want to get married? Mm. You know, and I found out that they actually have the same thing of what I want. So it's interesting. Even though I'm not a Muslim, they did not actually bring that one up. If you're ready, you're ready, and things like that. So basically, even though it's a bit sensitive, but the whole idea is we actually would like to tell the world at the same time that this is our way to show a more better, probably respected methods of dating, which you can actually take and use it in your own module wherever you like, whoever you are. So we just want to prove that point that it's good and respected.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is open. Do you get many non-Muslim respondents?
We actually get a lot of inquiries from the non-Muslims, actually. And basically, it's not about converting or things like that. It has never been an issue. And we don't even talk about it. We are just saying that, come over to find out how to date in a proper manner. Because they actually have to hear out that saying that, okay, if there's a match, then you will contact the mother.
Mm.
You know, it's like, it's not just
a
lie.
It's a bit shocking for, you know, just the usual guy dating.
Yes. Yeah. But they actually have to understand, like, oh, why? Then we'll, because there is an introduction before the thing. So the introduction will explain why. Because if, you know, for me, my mother used to say, a girl is like a flower. If you don't want her, just leave it be. Don't start plucking her off.
Your mother already.
Very good advice.
Yes. Yes, I like
it. No hanky-panky.
What I think is quite interesting is the fact that everything is on the table. So, for example, if you go through a regular dating process, these are things you probably find out about people as you go along,
exactly.
I would assume,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
But with this, I mean, you would never, on a first date, sit there with someone, say, when do you want to get married and do you want to have children? I mean, if I were to say that, he would have run to the next county.
County.
Right?
I would.
Yeah. Would. So this is all on the table, and there is a good reason, I suppose, for doing that. I mean, did you know this much about dating and relationships before you got into this venture?
No, I did not.
Right.
I really didn't.
Your biggest insights?
Now I understand what my mother is saying about dating. Honestly, because the way that is, I mean, I look at all my friends who are happily married, and the ones that actually have children, they have good communication and understanding. So I see this one is a platform that everything is very much Downton Abbey to me. So and I found that, like, wow, romance is not dead. And I like it. And these ladies came all the way from Penang, from Johor, you know, and they all have this hope. And to me, it's interesting. And for me, they believe in the system.
It certainly sounds hopeful. Yeah. Certainly does. What about usury?
Well, the demand is great to do things in a proper Sharia compliant manner.
Mm-hmm.
Parents and single people, participants alike, they want to do things in a dignified and chaperone, being matchmade in a dignified and chaperone environment.
You feel safe.
They feel safe.
Yeah.
Parents would love this for their daughters, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, they don't have nothing to worry about. And they're there at the same time. And so for also for participants, it's more efficient if you think about it. Because, okay, my father's here. If he likes you, I like you. Okay, let's talk further.
Right.
If not, we're not going to do anything hanky-panky.
Okay, yeah. So before we leave things, if people are interested, how do they sign up? How do they look for you? How do they get in touch? And any tips that you want to give them?
Any tips? Well, they can get in touch with us on halalspeeddating.com, register their interests. And any tips is like the spirit of halal speed dating is about respect. It's about respecting the lady. It's about bringing back chivalry. If you're interested in a girl, don't just take her to a dark corner place or, you know, that kind of thing. Talk to her father first. Clarify your intentions. So halal speed dating is not about dating. It's you have to have marriage in mind.
Any tips from you?
Have an open mind. It's going to be over on weekends anyway, so have fun. Ask as many questions, because this is about you finding yourself. And it's really a starting point of a journey that you have no idea. It's really mind-boggling when I went through, so I can say that perfectly honest. And if you even doubt yourself on anything, when you come there with your chaperone, you will see that you will find yourself in a place that is comfortable enough to be with another person.
Sounds so hopeful, doesn't it?
It is. It's a whole new dating scene. I don't understand this.
Very exciting stuff. Syed and Zuri, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for having
us. Pleasure having you on the show. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.